Hi guys, for those of you who've just started listening to the show, I wanted to share that apart from my podcast, I also have a newsletter called The Fix. In my weekly newsletter, I tackle different topics such as gender equality, women's empowerment, and so much more. On last week's edition, I discussed sexism in sports in relation to the controversy that surrounded Serena Williams at the US Open. I was inspired to talk about this after my interview with pro motorcycle racer Shalina Morda. She's had to overcome sexism, and she's achieved so much and continues to be an amazing support for women. So if you're looking to read more about these topics, please subscribe to The Fix. Just go to my website, michellepking.com/thefix, and sign up.
It took us 6 years to build something this successful. And it took us so many experiments, so many failures as well. You have to take into account that mistakes are just part of the journey and that you need to trust the journey that you're taking. And as long as you're working on something that you're really passionate about, you will get to a point where you will be able to build something that resonates with people.
I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm so thrilled to have Francesca Cavallo and Elena Favelli on the podcast today. Francesca and Elena are co-authors of the children's series Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. I'm incredibly inspired by these two women who are going to be sharing with us their journey towards writing the most crowdfunded book in history. They're also going to be talking with us about why it's so important for girls and boys everywhere to read about extraordinary women who've changed the course of history. Hi, Francesca. Hi, Elena.
Hi. Hi, Michelle.
It's so great to have you both on the show today. And I really just wanted to kick off by, you know, getting Elena to maybe share with us why it is that you both wanted to write Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. I mean, what inspired the book?
Yeah, so we started working on this book because we wanted to create something that could challenge the traditional gender role representation in media, and especially in children's media. And so we wanted to create a new set of stories that could show women and also young women in strong positions. And so we decided to put together this collection of bedtime stories featuring not just extraordinary women, but real women from the past and the present, as to show young girls that they can be anything they want and they too can have great ambitions.
I love that. And, you know, I have to confess, I've actually been following your progress over the years and I've watched your success grow and it's just been truly remarkable. So Francesca, you know, I just thought it'd be interesting for viewers who may be not familiar with your journey, if you could share a little bit about that and, you know, whether or not you knew the book was always going to be successful.
Well, of course, we could have never imagined to be, we passed 2 million copies sold of book one and more than 500,000 copies sold of book two. Book one is translated in 45 languages. So these are numbers that are really hard to to expect, even for the most optimist person.
Yeah, I mean, people who are listening right now might not know this, but selling 2 million copies for your first book is just unbelievable.
Yeah, so we're very proud that we launched this book through a Kickstarter campaign, because this book has always been for us a way to connect to a global community that cared about female empowerment. Sometimes as women, when we wrote online about these themes and when we talked about the issues that we were facing as female artists and female entrepreneurs, you get a lot of pushback. Our experience as women is often disregarded, and especially up until a couple of years ago, it was even worse. So this book has always been for us a way to connect to a community and to make sure that other people that probably found themselves in a similar situation didn't feel alone, and especially that they felt that they could give hope to the next generation of women. And, you know, it was also a matter of responsibility. We wanted to do something for the women that will come after us and to make it possible for them to feel a little more confident and help them grow up surrounded by more female role models, because we certainly had the feeling that we didn't have that growing up. And that takes a toll on you. Even if you are confident, even if you manage to be successful, you still have to silence a lot of the voices in your head that constantly tell you that you're not worthy, that you are not good enough for a challenge that you want to tackle.
You know, that's the thing that I love about this book is, you know, when you read these stories of these real life role models, you really start to feel like you can overcome some of the negative self-doubt that you have. And, you know, Eleanor, I just wondered if this was your aim with the book. So did you want girls to read it and feel inspired?
Yes, definitely. The number one goal for us with this book has always been to inspire young women and young girls. First of all, we think that they are the ones who need it the most. They need to be encouraged. They need to know that they already have whatever it takes to commit and to achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve. So definitely they are our main audience. Of course, we always say that boys are welcome to read this book too, but it was important for us as a statement to dedicate this book, this collection, to girls, because it's extremely rare for women to be the lead characters of any great storytelling experience. If you think about books, but even if you think about cartoons, movies, now it's changing. It's beginning to change. And there are, of course, many new entertainment products that feature strong female leads. But if you take a look at the numbers, at the statistics around children's literature and children's media, it is really impressive to see how little it's been done so far in terms of female representation. So definitely our biggest goal is to try to change this gender imbalance and create a new set of characters that these young girls can feel they are their own heroes.
Yeah, but your work doesn't stop there, right? Because you have a company called Timbuktu that sort of does a whole bunch of work related to the book and more, right? So, you know, Francesca, could you share more on that?
Absolutely. Well, we are very proud that, among other things, these books have given us the opportunity to create a company that embodies the same values as the book. So when we created Good Night Stories for Rebel Girls, we wanted to feature women from all walks of life because we wanted every little girl on earth to be able to see a piece of herself, a piece of her story reflected in the book. And when we launched the first Kickstarter campaign, it was just Ellen and myself working at Timbuktu. And now we are 16 people. And the way we recruit, the way we structure the company embodies the same values as the book, because we really believe that our books and all the content that we produce is so inclusive, and the way and the people you surround yourself with changes the outcome and changes the way these products look and feel when they are brought to the general public. So this is one of the things that we're most proud of as entrepreneurs. And we always say that we want to grow this company in such a way that when it will be very big, we won't need a diversity office. So we're really committed to that.
You know, given your tremendous success, I think it's really easy for people to assume that you kind of got there overnight, because all of a sudden it looked like you were selling thousands of copies of your book. And I know that success is never really like that. So Eleanor, you know, maybe you could share some of the challenges you've experienced in sort of starting your own company and building a brand.
So when we started our company, Timbuktu, we were actually in a different space. We were producing mostly apps for kids. And so we started with an iPad magazine for kids, which was called Timbuktu Magazine. And we won many awards. We found a kind of our niche of readers and users. But it was very difficult to monetize those kinds of products. So at some point, it became very clear for us that that space was completely oversaturated and that we needed to move away from that and to find some products that could live not just online, but also offline, and that people could hold in their hands and could be willing to buy. So we decided to make the leap and started thinking about a physical product that, of course, could have still a strong connection with the digital side of our company. Because, of course, this book was born through a Kickstarter campaign. So it has like a very profound digital soul, I would say. And so the biggest lesson that we learned and that made a huge difference in building this product and then creating this global movement and this global success was to really be able to design and then create something in direct dialogue with our audience, which we completely developed online. So I think this strong connection and this strong dialogue between online and offline was what really made the difference for the success of our book series.
And just in terms of the online dialogue, I mean, is that specifically the crowdfunding element?
Yes, I was referencing the crowdfunding element, but also the social media element. So all of that, because we actually started testing these stories with a newsletter. So there were a lot of digital pieces that we put together and that led to the launch of the crowdfunding campaign.
So, I mean, given all that you've both been through, you're both sheroes in your own right. And, you know, your story is so incredibly inspirational that I kind of just wondered if you had any advice or kind of lessons learned that you could share with some of our listeners who may be aspiring writers or entrepreneurs or innovators who really want to hear from you. So, you know, Elena, maybe we could start with you. Do you have any advice you can share?
I guess for me, the biggest lesson was to persevere. It took us a long time. It took us 6 years to build something this successful. And it took us so many experiments, so many failures as well. So I know that this is advice that successful people give all the time. I know that when I was given this advice, I was like, oh yeah, sure. I have to keep at it. And it's so hard sometimes, you just want to give up and you think you're never going to make it, right? But I think it's really important to keep it in mind, because it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of mistakes. You have to take into account that mistakes are just part of the journey and that you need to trust the journey that you're taking. And as long as you're working on something that you're really passionate about, you will get to a point where you will be able to build something that resonates with people.
You know, I think that's really helpful for people who are on the journey, because it's not always easy, right? And what about you, Francesca? I mean, have you got any sort of lessons learned that you can share?
Yeah, for me, the biggest lesson was probably the fact that you should never work with the goal of being successful by another person's parameters. We did something that we were very passionate about. And yes, there were many moments that were very hard, because some products that we launched were not performing as we would have wanted them to. But the reason why we were able to persevere was that we were enjoying the work that we were doing. So success was already there in the form that we were doing work that we felt was meaningful. At times it was more frustrating. At times it didn't yield the results that we hoped it would. But we didn't persevere just out of sheer will force. We also persevered because we had built a situation that for us, we felt that it had meaning, what we were doing. So one thing that I think is the worst enemy is to define success by somebody else's parameters. And then you become impatient and you're like, okay, this is not working. This is not working. And then you feel this anxiety to prove yourself. And this is particularly true for women. You feel that you have to prove that you have value, that you work at value, and this value needs to be measured by someone else. And that is absolutely not true, because let's be honest, not everyone's books are going to become global bestsellers, even if you keep at it and even if you persevere. There is a number of factors that need to coincide. It's a very peculiar circumstance, but it's very important that you enjoy the work that you are doing, that you feel that you are contributing something that matters to you. And that will give you the opportunity to persevere, because you will just be happy about the work that you're doing. And you need to be the measure of the success that you are building. You don't need to let anyone else define what success is, because the moment you do, you lose ownership of whatever it is that you're building. And that sucks, because being independent and being artists and being entrepreneurs requires a lot of courage. And if you let other people define your life for you, then it's not going to be worth it.
I absolutely love this interview with Francesca and Elena. I mean, to me, they are the epitome of Rebel Girls. My takeaway from them is that it is just so important to be intentional about your work and find meaning in what you do, because this is how you persevere when the going gets tough, which it almost always will do when you're chasing something that's meaningful. So to stay motivated, make sure that you take time out each week to remind yourself why it is that you're chasing your goals. So on today's Fairy God Boss Insights, we are going to be talking about how to look at failure differently and why this is so important for young women. A few years ago, a school based in Ohio launched a program called Adventure Girls. Through activities and challenges, Adventure Girls was designed to help young girls use failure as a learning tool. According to the executive director of the school, the American culture of excelling at all costs places unfair and unrealistic expectations on children, but particularly on young girls. In fact, the stress on young girls can negatively impact their mental health, often leading them to suffer from anxiety and depression. So to combat this, the program provides parents and adults with the tools to help young women overcome difficult situations by using the capabilities that they already have. Part of the program is also focused on encouraging young women to spend time with women that they admire. Mentorship can help young girls realize that they can conquer their personal challenges and find their own paths to success. Each of us can play an active role in supporting young women around us by taking time to understand their challenges and provide them with the encouragement and advice that they need. So if you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. Thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed our episode today, and please catch me again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.